Tony.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Carter Stove.
Carter Stove.
I'm going to go on mute, Hano.
Okay.
And I will too.
Okay. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa Gedula Chimincha Tati Serura Alfetimo Yutat Sadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun. The letters of the month of Shvat, the Bet that created the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn, and the Tzadi that created the constellation Dali, the water carrier. Some say it's the water bucket. The astrological sign of Aquarius. Together, the Tzadi and the Bet have a gematria of 92, which is 91 plus the Kolel. And as such, it relates to the unity of Zeranpin and Malchut, male and female. Na gibor dor sheyehudcha kevavat shamrem nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Barchem tacharem rachameh sidkavcha tamid gam bet tetresh tzadi taf gimel chasim gadot v'rol tupa na'or adata pet kuf bet tet minayim. Yud Gimalamet, and Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushmatiakatenu, Yodea, Ta. I'm getting quite a bit of static, so I would appreciate it if you mute your phones by pressing star 6. We have brought the energy of creation into our space.
Yeah.
We're now going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy to the utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. And again, I ask people to mute their phone by pressing star 6 due to the static. Adonai Yohe Wahe. Adonai Yohe Wahe. El Rachum Vechanun. Erech apayim v'rav chesed v'emet. No tzer chesed la'alavim, no se'awon wa'fesha, v'chata'a v'nakei. I have no choice. I have to mute everybody. you want to ask a question, please unmute yourself by pressing star 6. And then after your question is heard and while I'm answering it, please press it again to mute your phone. We're now going to connect to the various year's energies, commencing with this year of 5777, the year of the goat, also known as the year of the wake-up. The first verse that we will, first of the two verses we'll read is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52, and we will say L'Hashem Yehud in advance of starting to read the verse. L'Hashem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bichilu Urhimu Udhilu Udhilu Urhimu Le'akta L'Hashem Yehud He Bavav He B'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La sok Torah mitzvah. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu konanei aleinu maasei yadeinu konanehu. Tzod saduni katzipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letter of these five words, we're able to parse them into three Hebrew words. Tzatz ki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letter of these five words, we're able to permute them into two Hebrew words, dir yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to the year of the goat energy is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. This verse has the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion, concealed within it, and the letters of the name of the verse are separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadebaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. We're now going to read the energy of the pause connecting to the year 5776. And the first of the two verses that connect to that energy is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. I should say the first of the verses we will read. Raka Kohanim Ha'ayulimat Willo Yahlu Lehashit Et Kol Ha'olot Vayichaskum Achechem Ha'levim Ad Kilot Hamlacha V'ad Yitkadshu Ha'kohanim Ki Ha'levim Yishrei Leval Lehit Kadesh Meha Kohanim. This verse has 25 words. We're able to permute those letters into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe La La He Wa 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 Yo la yo ala me, hey, 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 a ka a, re ka ha. And the second verse that connects to this year's energy of the pause, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Be tru ba Adonai yo he wa he. Ade ad ki bia yohe Adonai yohe wahe tzur olamim. Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishemimeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachago iyam. Asher yitchabe sham washtavtem elai el nachon. Wehalakti itchem wichayim yeshno. Varetz vechipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. The last two verses I read connected to the year 5775, the year that death is swallowed, potentially forever. Job chapter 20, verse 7 is the third of those three verses that connect to that energy. Kegelo lanetzah yoved ro'av yomru ayo. And the year of peace of the Middle East, 5774, there is only one verse that has that energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisam di makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shakan tachta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu b'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar that connects to the energy of certainty. It's from Parashat Yitro, it's Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekamatar Tanenan Dekucha Berichu Koma Deaved Le'ela Witata Kola Yihu Kishot Biovada Dikshot Veled Lach Mila Bialma Divae Barnash Ledachya Leya Mineya Ulan Haga Beya Kelana Yahakulu Ovada Dikshot Inun Wikola it's the reef. Be Alma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. And now the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. And the Tzaddikim who left this day, the second of Shvat, Rabbi Simcha Bunim Kalish of Orka, Rabbi Meshulam Zusha of Anupali, one of the students of the Baal Shem Tov, a very famous Kabbalist. And he and his brother Eli Melech are very much intertwined in the stories about them and the differences in their personalities. Rabbi Rabbi Israel Chaim Kaplan, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Krochmal of Nicholsburg, also known as the Tzemach Tzedek, Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Rabinowitz, Rabbi Mansur Ben Shimon. I'm also mentioning the names of the Tzaddikim who left tonight and tomorrow, because we do not have a class this evening, and therefore it's good to mention these names so that you can take note of it when the time comes at sundown. Rabbi Yosef ben Rabbi Abraham Gershon HaKohen Katz of Krakow, Rabbi Yosef Yerachmiel Aaron Kalish of Amshenov, Rabbi Shmuel David HaKohen Monk, Rabbi Yosef Rockover, Rabbi Pinchas of Plutsk, Rabbi Simcha Bunim of Peshishka, Rabbi Moshe Yehuda Lieb Zilberberg, Rabbi Yosef Kalish. And the eighth verse of the Anava Koach we say in a whisper. Today is the second of Shvat. In 13 days, not counting today, will be the 15th day of Shvat, known as Tu B'Shvat. That will be on a Shabbat. It will be in 2 weeks from yesterday. This holiday is known as the New Year of the Trees. It is one of four New Years that are celebrated in the Hebrew calendar. It's the second most famous New Year that is celebrated in the Hebrew calendar, Rosh Hashanah being the first. The handout for tonight, or for today's class, is available on the unique astrological times link, which is located below the two pictures on the right-hand side of every Yeshem webpage. When you click on that link of the astrological times, scroll down to the month of Shvat, and there is a link there for the Tu B'Shvat information. That link is actually the instructions for how to have or prepare and have a Seder for Tu B'Shvat. This Seder became famous through the teachings of the Ari. Was it done before that? Yes, but not by many. And it was done in secret. And this Shabbat, unless you're going to a public Tu B'Shvat Seder, I think you will find that it's necessary to do this by yourself. And that's why this class is using this as a framework to give you information about Tu B'Shvat. So I'm starting to read at the top, and we may find that it's necessary, we'll see, to also include this in next week's class on Sunday. These are items that you need to have prepared to properly do a Tu B'Shvat Seder. You need a 25-hour candle, preferably a colored white. This is commonly known as a Yahrzeit candle. Since it's going to be on Shabbat, you need to utilize your Shabbat candles. There should be a bottle of white wine or white grape juice and a bottle of red wine or red grape juice. There should be a glass of water. There should be fruits and nuts of various categories, and we will be discussing those categories below. There should be a cake or cookie, or cookies. There should be some bran cereal that can be eaten without milk. A granola bar usually has bran and can work well. A venture for the final blessing that has the aspect or the familiar, the phrases to be included for the holiday of Tu B'Shvat. And there should be 12 small chalot, 6 male and 6 female. And we will explain that below when we discuss the blessing over the bread, over the chalot. We do have some recipes for various items if you want to make them before, prepare them for the Seder. It's part of the discussion, and I will just quickly read through them. Wheat, a couscous salad, barley, barley spice muffins, generally small. Mini baklavas has walnuts and pecans. An orange cake, an etrog cake, almond and olive oil cake, easy corn mushroom soup. This uses the cream of mushroom and cream style corn. A carrot cake mix or carrot cake. And generally, children like what's called dirt cake as dessert. I don't pretend to know what dirt cake really refers to, as I don't think I've ever experienced it. But as we go through these preparations, we're going to learn about many aspects of Tu B'Shvat. And to truly understand this, because Tu B'Shvat and the Seder is very clearly related to the four worlds. And those four worlds are the world of Atzilut, which is emanation, the world of Briah, creation, the world of Yetzirah, formation, and the world of Asiya, the world of action, our physical reality. We will find that fruits and nuts come from these four worlds, that based on the nature of the fruit or the nut, we can determine what is its source in the spiritual levels. And we can understand which of these four worlds that particular fruit or nut comes from. The world of Atzilut is purely a spiritual, and it cannot be symbolized in any concrete way in the physical world. The world of Briah is symbolized by 10 fruits that do not have pits on the inside, and they also do not have shells on the outside. That is, they are totally edible. Grapes, figs, apples, etrogene, lemons, pears, raspberries, blueberries, carobs and quinces, and seeds are considered edible in this system. In the world of Yetzirah, it has pits inside, but the outside can be eaten. And it has 10 fruits: olives, dates, cherries, jujubes, persimmons, apricots, peaches, loquats, plums, and hackberries. The world of Asiya has an outside shell that must be discarded and an inside that can be eaten. Its 10 fruits and nuts are pomegranates, walnuts, almonds, pine nuts, chestnuts, hazelnuts, coconuts, Brazil nuts, pistachios, and pecans. The symbolism, in brief, is as follows. Those parts that can be eaten represent holiness. The inedible parts, that is, the pits, represent the impure. And the shells serve as protection for the fragile holiness inside. We have given you 30 different fruits and nuts. And there are people who literally prepare all 30 as part of their preparation for their Tu B'Shvat Seder. And they actually add a couple of other items not included in this list, so that there will be 32 items that they take a bite of or just a taste of, so that they are connecting to the 32 paths of wisdom as spoken about in the Sefer Yetzirah. But if you are unable to get a particular fruit for any reason, either cost or it's out of season, or it's not really part of the issue, you don't need to worry. It's not necessary to have all of the fruits. You can look at your various links in this matrix, which helps when you're wanting to jump between different aspects of the preparation. But we're going to just go through this one item at a time. To give some historical background for the holiday and for the Seder. What is Tu B'Shvat? We will give some meanings of the holiday below that deal with the history and surface meaning of the holiday. First, the essence of the holiday comes from the essence of the Hebrew word tree. There are two words in Hebrew, etz and ilan, that translate as tree. To my knowledge, the words are interchangeable in modern Hebrew. Yet we know in biblical Hebrew there are no synonyms. So these words must have two different meanings. When we look at the gematria, etz has a gematria of 160 or 161 with the kolel. 161 is the same gematria of the 13th attribute of mercy called benakeh. This word connects to cleansing. And we know the 13 attributes of mercy that we've been saying frequently connects to the world of Atzilut, as they were taught by to Moshe as the method of cleansing the sin of the golden calf. The word Ilan has the gematria of 91. Which represents the unity of the physical world and the world of Yetzirah, or the world we typically call the spiritual world. What creates unity between disparate diagrams like spiritual and physical? It is the tool called binding by striking, or restriction. In essence, we learn that the tree is the tallest living thing on the earth. Why does it grow so tall? It is to demonstrate to us that its essence is binding by striking. That is the energy and essence that we are able to connect to from the holiday of Tu B'Shvat. This is the internal energy of Tu B'Shvat, binding by striking, going against our nature. Our reactive responses need to be stopped. This is the step, one of the steps of binding by striking. Tu B'Shvat, by participating in the Tu B'Shvat Seder, we are able to strengthen our ability to bind our reactive nature. It is the name of a holiday from the Jewish calendar. The name Tu is spelled Tet Vav and represents the number 15. The name Shabbat is the name of the 11th Hebrew month, the fifth month counting from Tishrei and the high holidays. In the Talmud, it tells us there are four new years in the Hebrew calendar. The first is Aleph of Nisan, and it is the new year for kings. The meaning of that is when looking at the book of prophets, we will see that the various kings of the two countries, of the land of Judah and the land of Ephraim, or the land of Israel, the kings are measured not in full years and not from their date of coronation. They're measured by the number of times they pass the new year of the kings, the first of Nisan. So if someone was coronated a king in Israel on the last day of Adar, then they would have be considered as if they had 2 years as soon as the next day came, the first of Nisan. And this is what leads to such confusion in the dating of the kings of Israel, the kings of Judah, and the aspects of the prophets as well. The second is Rosh Hashanah in the month of Tishrei. This is the new year for human beings, not just children of Israel. Every human being is judged on that day. Will they receive the same amount of energy they received the year before, or will they receive more, or God forbid, less? The third is Tu B'Shvat, the new year for the trees. And the fourth is the new year for animal tithing, and this occurs on the first of Elul. Some say that the new year for the trees is the moment when the sap begins to run in the new year, and therefore the tithing is calculated as of that date. The tithing for plants and growing things, not for the animals, which is on the first of Elul. A new year represents a time of hope and a time of new beginnings, as we discussed in preparation for our Rosh Chodesh ritual. The month of Shabbat represents this idea of new beginnings. It represents the idea of the beginning, the seed level for spring. Even though we know the equinox for spring does not happen till a few weeks later, approximately 5. And it also, the new year represents many other things, as we will discover. During temple times more than 2,000 years ago, Tu B'Shvat marked the beginning of the new year for calculating tithing. In that period of time, we followed the sabbatical cycle of 7 years. Our tithing donations went to the Levites, and depending on which year in the cycle, part went to the poor and part to a festive celebration in Jerusalem. Remember, we all went to Jerusalem 3 times per year, on the holiday of Passover, on the holiday of Shavuot, and on the holiday of Sukkot. Let's explain a little about tithing and the meaning of ma'aser, the Hebrew term for tithing, or one of the Hebrew words for tithing. The real meaning for tithing is truma. But ma'aser would be translated as from the tenth. Today we refer to this as tithing because it relates to the word aser, which means ten. So ma'aser translates as from the tenth, from the tenth. In the Torah, when Jacob awoke from his famous dream of the ladder, he vowed to give Hashem 10% of what he had if Hashem fulfilled his promise. At least that is what the surface story says. Actually, tithing comes from the adage that Malchut, the lower Sephirah, has no light of its own. The Kabbalists explain that therefore, not everything we receive from Hashem belongs to us. Ten percent of what we receive from Hashem has no light for us. Therefore, we either give it away by choice, in which case it will be returned to us, or the universe will tax it away. Examples of this taxing away are large medical bills, legal fines, speeding and parking tickets, and the like, as well as time spent at red lights or stuck in traffic. With this in mind, I just will remind people that volunteering their time to help Yashem is always welcome. We have many projects that people can help with, and we hope you will eventually decide to help with that. Why do we observe Tu B'Shvat with a Seder? I will also add to what I just said about volunteering your time. If you do volunteer your time, and for the whatever reason that time is not accepted, either because of the not technical levels or because of other reasons, the fact that you volunteered means that you did that particular tithing. The fact that it wasn't accepted does not diminish the fact that you have expressed your desire to tithe your time. And in heaven, in the spiritual levels, it is concluded that you have donated that time. So we're now answering the question, why do we observe Tu B'Shvat with a Seder? The mystical sages of Safed, foremost among them is Rabbi Isaac Luria, known as the Godly Rabbi Isaac or the Ari, in the 16th century, understood God as a tree of life, whose roots were in the heavens and whose branches extends towards the earth, bringing all of us life and blessing. This was a holy time, a time of enhanced energy, an opportunity to partake of the fruit of the trees, and to thank God for the wonder of renewed life for the universe. They organized a Seder for Tu Bishvat, at which they drank 4 cups of wine and 7 different kinds of products from the land of Israel. These products are wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and dates. 5 of these grow on trees. Yes, a grapevine is considered a tree for the purpose of saying a blessing. The other 2 items are also generally included in the Tu Bishvat Seder, even though the plants themselves may not grow on traditional trees. They still are very highly organized, and they are very much involved with the concept of what it means to be a tree. In 1653, the first liturgy, a collection of readings and rituals for Tu Bishvat, was published in Salonika, in Greece, under the name Pri Etz Hadar, the fruit of the goodly citrus tree. Although the identity of the author is unknown, it is generally assumed to have been Chaim Vital, the main student and disciple of the Ari, the most well-known Kabbalist of Sofet, of Sfat. The basic concept behind the ritual is to increase the flow of God's emanations, blessings, into the world. By eating the various kinds of fruits and with the proper intention, we aid in the renewal of our world from the divine tree of life. In the Salonika liturgy, 2 legends are related concerning Tu Bishvat. The first states that an angel hits the head of every plant on this day, saying to it, "Grow." The second believes that on this day the trees embrace. Anyone seeing that embrace will have his or her wish fulfilled. Some barren Jewish women, believing the power of sympathetic magic, would plant raisins and candy near trees or embrace trees on Tu Bishvat at night, praying for fertility. Young girls eligible for marriage were brought to trees where an imitation marriage was enacted. If shortly after the buds were found on the tree to which they were married, they knew their turn would soon come. In some areas, the Tu Bishvat celebrations were held in the homes of families who had lost a beloved during the past year, to remind of the prohibition of mourning on that day, and also of the renewal of life from the trees being parallel to the resurrection of the dead. The rituals of Tu Bishvat in different countries, in different Jewish groups, are varied. And here are some unusual rituals that are followed from around the world, which you may include in your Tu Bishvat Seder. In southern and rural Morocco, the rich would invite the whole town to their homes and fill their hats with fruit. In Persia, there was a custom of climbing on the roof and lowering in an empty basket through the chimney, which would be returned laden with fruit. In Turkey, there was a custom where each member of the family would have a special relationship with one species of fruit. In Persia and Afghanistan, Jews on Tu B'Shvat would purchase new fabrics from which clothing for Pesach would be sewn. And another custom performed in anticipation was to eat jelly made from the last Sukkot's etrog, and then to pray for etrogim of fine quality for the coming Sukkot. Blessing upon seeing fruit trees blooming for the first time in the year. This is usually done by the observant Orthodox sects during the month of Nisan. This is because they run to do a mitzvah, and this mitzvah is done only once per year. Since the year starts during Nisan, they try to do it as early as possible in the year. If you have not said this blessing, please do so. You may also keep this section to say as soon as possible in the new year that stands on Aleph Nisan. I'm not going to read the blessing, but it's available for you to copy and print. There is a Tzaddikim connection during the Seder. Our Tzaddikim are not dead according to the teachings of Kabbalah. Their bodies are in their kevers, their coffins. On Rosh Chodesh, the first of Hebrew months, and also on the 15th day of the Hebrew months, like Tu B'Shvat, the souls of the Tzaddikim return to their bodies and are available to help us by providing a stronger channel to the light of the Creator. The recommended ritual is to say the names of the Tzaddikim and then say, in the merit of these Tzaddikim, I light this candle. The names are available at this link, and we have been saying them daily for the last few months. I can also establish a wonderful study, which seems a little bit like not a study, but I recommend this to do at least once a year. And that's to read all of the names of all of the Tzaddikim. The light that is revealed by saying the names of the Tzaddikim, one after the other, is very intense and very helpful in your own life. I'm also bringing some people that might be a good way to start this saying of all of the Tzaddikim. And it wouldn't hurt if you said them once at the beginning and once during the reading of the various people. Avraham Avinu, Yitzhak Avinu, Yisrael Avinu, Chanoch ben Yered, Noach ben Lemech, Shimon bar Yochai, Rabbi Yitzhak Luria, the Ari, Rabbi Yehuda Ashlar, the Baal Shem Tov, and many others are referred to as the Kol HaTzadikim, the voice of the righteous. Now light the 25-hour candle. Many people also add the names of their departed loved ones prior to the lighting of the candle. There is no blessing said, just the names of the Tzaddikim. and the departed loved ones from one's family. If Tu Bishvat is on Shabbat, this section will be completed or will be done Friday night before Shabbat. I'm going to try and read this next section because we're getting close to our time. According to Kabbalah, there are the four worlds or levels of creation as we have discussed above. The world of Atzilut being purely spiritual and cannot be symbolized in any concrete way. The world of Briah is symbolized by 10 fruits, and we have already read this aspect. The same thing for the other worlds. This is an essay by the book Jewish Holidays by Michael Strassfeld. He says the categories of fruits may symbolize three kinds of interpersonal situations also. Entering an unfriendly or anxiety-producing atmosphere, one is guarded, externally armored, as it were. The shell is on the outside like the fruits of Asiyah. In friendlier surroundings, but superficial, or entered with some reservations, there is more interpersonal contact and exchange, even some degree of affable sharing. But the very private self remains surrounded by the inner shell, like the fruits of Yetzirah. In certain special situations of deep trust and intimacy, however, the inner self is revealed and shared with another. At this moment of I-Thou, there is no inner shell like the fruits of Briah. Please spend a few minutes thinking about these words and which people in your life exemplify these categories. Kabbalah uses the tetragrammaton spelled Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh as a metaphor for the four worlds. They also use these four letters as meditative tools that allow one to travel between the worlds as well as to the worlds. During the Seder, the four cups of wine will connect to the tetragrammaton as a meditative tool of unification. The first cup of wine connects to the Yud, the second to the upper He, the third to the Vav, and the fourth cup of wine connects to the final He. There are two ways for the Seder to be performed. One connects to the direct light flow of the world of Atzilut, flowing down to the world of Malchut, our physical world, and the other connects to the returning light flow of the below to above, to the flow created by binding by striking. They both are correct. We will connect to the direct light as we want to start and to strengthen the flow of beneficence into our physical world. The Kabbalistic Kavanah when saying a blessing is on our website in the section connected to prayer. You can find it on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. I think this is a good place for us to stop. because we would be starting with the blessings over the bread and the rest of the blessings as we go through the Seder. And there is great information, important information, available in these discussions and these teachings. We're about halfway through the page itself as well. Does anyone have any questions? I'm going to unmute the phone.
Hello?
Are there any questions?
I do have a question.
Please go ahead. And would other people mute their phones? Go ahead and ask your question.
I have a question, Hanok.
Go ahead, Jasmine.
I was thinking about what did I do with my etrog from the last Sukkot. And I guess, as you said in the study, am I able to do something with it, like jelly or something? Or what else can I do?
Well, usually you would make the jelly soon after Sukkot. That's one thing that people do with it. Another thing will seem a little bit strange, but the women who want to have children will utilize the etrog from their husband by biting into the pitum, the stem section, and by eating that, they hope to bring the seed of life into their womb. Those are two things that people do. Other people take the four species, primarily the other three, and they burn them along with their chametz on Passover. And some people will also burn the etrog. But the appropriate way of disposing of the etrog is to bury it. But if you don't, make it into jelly, and you don't utilize the idea of wanting to be pregnant and eating the pitum, then it is probably best to bury it.
Well, I assume I'm going to make some jelly.
Can
I make a comment?
Oh, please. Please. Go ahead, Hannah.
Okay. Well, when working with religious school children, sometimes I would take the etrog and use the juice, and the recipe for the etrog cake was the recipe I used. The only thing is there's not very much juice. And so usually you would have to have quite a bit to make jelly or jam. But for a cake, you can add orange juice, another citric juice with it to have enough juice to make an etrog cake in order to put in the freezer to have for two bishvat when we would do a Seder with the children. Now, with adults and doing two bishvat Seders as an experience as well as sometimes as a teaching tool, I take the etrog and I put it in the freezer after Sukkot is over. And freezing it keeps it pretty well, it's not going to dry up, but it's going to kind of be a little bit soggy when you defrost it, but you can keep it in a plastic bag, and you're able to show it at your Seder, and they're able to smell it to represent the whirl of Atzilut. And so that's mm-hmm. some other ways that I've used
thank
it.
Thank you, Anna. Does anybody else?
I don't know.
Thank you.
Okay.
Do you want to continue?
Well, I just wondered if that was something I shouldn't have done. Because some just think you just shouldn't use it at all because it may have been the fruit from the tree of knowledge. And, you know, I actually, way back maybe 15 years ago, planted the seeds and actually grew an etrog tree that really grew to really be big, really big. It did not bear fruit for 10 years. And when it did bear fruit, they were beautiful. They were huge. I had 22, and you know the significance of the 22. When I harvested the fruit and put them in a basket, the whole house smelled like etrogim. And then as people came, I gave each one wine and, you know, was able to explain to them what it was. And it's not, I don't think I would do that again because I felt like it was a fruit that belonged in Israel. And I was, you know, when I left for Israel, I told the tree that, you know, I thanked it for producing fruit. And then it got sick and it, you know, kind of, I could tell it was dying. And the persons who bought our house, they dug it up. So I don't think I would plant another one in America. And that's just my experience. So.
Well, I would add to that, that if you were going to plant an etrog tree in America or anywhere, even in Israel, you should realize that the words in the Torah that describe the four species that are used on Sukkot, it does not say the citron. It does not say etrog. It says a beautiful fruit. And the sages have explained that that beautiful fruit is the etrog. And a way to plant a tree to give it the energy of growth and the energy of Israel is to plant it in the locations where you bury the foreskin from the Brit Milah that are performed on the Jewish boy babies. And I've had that experience myself with my grandson, where my children do not yet follow the path of Kabbalah, the teachings of Kabbalah. And they laughed at me when I said I wanted to bury the foreskin on my grandson. But they allowed me to do it in their home. And then we buried it in a corner that did not receive any sunlight. They never had anything capable of growing in that corner of their garden. And literally, the growth out of that garden was tremendous, tremendous. And they laughed at it again. So you learn very clearly. People see what they want to see. But I give you this information as truth for me because I have experienced it. Just as Hannah is giving you this information as truth from her, because she has experienced it.
Hi.
Are there any other questions? Classes this coming week are the normal classes. There will not be a class this afternoon. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 4:30 classes will be mini Zohar classes. Monday night, 7 o'clock class will be an essay, continuing the essay from Rabbi Ashlag. Tuesday's 7 o'clock class will be the Tikkuni Zohar class. Wednesday's 7 o'clock class will be questions and answers. Thursday at 7 o'clock will be a Zohar class. And at 4:30, our Advanced Reincarnation series of classes. Next Saturday night at 6 o'clock will be Havdalah. And at 7 o'clock will be a Zohar class for the new Parashah, that of Beshalach. And next week we will continue preparing for Tu Bishvat at our 10:30 Sunday morning class. All of the times that I mentioned are Pacific times, Pacific Standard Time. So please make the adjustment to the areas that you live in. Are there any questions? Have a beautiful month, beautiful week, a beautiful day. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom, thank you.
Shalom.